to Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 to number 1. And this week, in an email request, as always, Top 5 Cool Guys.
A long-distance dedication.
Top 5 Cool Guys. And Matthew, why don't you start us off this week with your number 5 Cool Guy?
My number 5 Cool Guy is actually one of the characters who defines the 90s for me. There's a certain point where you can say to yourself, hey, this character is what I remember of a certain year or a certain decade. Like, I had a friend today who said something like, oh, the 90s, you mean like Seinfeld? And I'm like, yes, that's what I mean, like Seinfeld. But fortunately, it's not Seinfeld because he's not a cool guy. However, the cool guy in my number 5 slot is a doctor, an MD man, a decorated agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a person who theoretically can kiss Fox Mulder without going, oh my God, that was like kissing an ashtray. No, this person, my friend, my number 5 cool guy, Dana Scully from the X-Files. And if you don't know why Scully is cool, I have to explain something to you. Back in the 90s, they had this whole thing where David Duchovny, as Fox Mulder, was supposed to be the star of the show. And he was supposed to be the center of everything. And Scully was supposed to be like his kid's sidekick or something. And the more they worked with the character and the more they worked with the scripts and the more they worked with the show, more people liked Scully than they liked Mulder. So the character and the portrayal by Gillian Anderson actually dragged her from being Mulder's goofy sidekick or Mulder's, you know, off-putting shrew sidekick, however you wanted to put it, and made her the better character of the two and made her the central character of most of the X-Files to the point where she stuck around after he left. It was pretty cool stuff, man. That's why my number 5, Dr. Dana Scully.
All right. Rodrigo, what do you have for number 5?
My number 5 is a guy who is super cool. He lives with me and he's always doing cool things like growling at me when I sit on the couch. I'm talking about my girlfriend's dog, Pavlov, who is like, he's too cool for school. He's like a little guy. He's like a little, he's like a little terrier and cocker spaniel mix, I guess. They had his DNA checked.
Mm-hmm. He's actually part Dodge Dart, from what I understand.
Yeah, he's one third terrier, one third cocker spaniel, and one third sausage McMuffin. So he's, you know, likes to hang out, and he's always doing cool things and being cool. He loves blankets. Cool guys love blankets. And you can, if you call him while he's under a blanket, he'll do an Emperor Palpatine impression by poking his nose out of the blanket and looking like a Sith Lord and then growling at you like a Sith Lord. So yeah, my number 5 is Pavlov the dog.
Interesting. Nice. I think I may have misunderstood the top 5 cool guys. Because my number 5 is Mr. Freeze. I mean, when you think about it, when you come into the room, he's like, "Ice to see you." And if there's a fight, he's always like, "Cool it." So my number 5 my number 5 is Mr. Freeze. Matthew, what do you have for your number 4?
I'm sorry. What?
Okay. What do you have for your number 4?
you
could not understand what I said.
I did understand what you
okay.
said.
All right, then please.
I am
number
very
4.
Good at speaking of the things that we speak. Years and years ago, when I was but a little nerd, little as in youthful rather than small, I'm pretty much the same size-ish since I was about 14 years old. But years and years ago, when I was a young nerd, I walked into a comic store by accident and I picked up a comic book, and I know you're all shocked. You're like, what? Matthew with a comic book? What? And I says to you, that's just mean. But this particular comic book happened to be the first issue of a series that I was vaguely aware of because I had been reading Swamp Thing, and it featured this weird British guy who kind of wandered around and sort of had powers, but mostly just manipulated people and was kind of cool and kind of a jerk, mostly a jerk, but still cool. You're like, even when he is a jerk, you still think he's cool. And that series, the number one issue that I bought, it actually continued on for 300 issues, the better part of 25 years. And so every month I would go and I would pick up the latest adventure of John Constantine, sometimes called the Hellblazer. Never been in a movie. There was never, it's fascinating that they have never made a movie about this character. But way, way back in 1988, when I picked that up, I was like, ooh, this is kind of interesting. And again, I had seen the character in an issue of Swamp Thing before this. And he was all kind of cool, and he looked kind of like Sting, which, you know, it was 1985, 86, 87. Looking like Sting was the closest thing to actually being cool that we had in the 80s. Because, you know, we were rolling up our jeans and wearing big giant sweaters and doing all sorts of stupid stuff for a while.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's cool.
I'm sorry, was I off key? I was going to go into a thing. Do Hellblazer fans have the same issues as Doctor Who fans when somebody goes like, oh man, and then like when Hellblazer goes into that room and he gets scared, like the people are like, actually, his name is Juan Hellblazer.
Exactly. Well, they did until 2013 or 14. When DC went to the unthinkable route, and they did this to Captain Marvel too, of calling him in the book the Hellblazer, which had never happened, you know, in the previous series. And we also have the problem shared with Doctor Who in that depending on when you started, you have different eras and almost different takes on the character. But one of the greatest things about it was that from 88 to about 2013, John basically aged almost in real time. So by the time his book was canceled, right before the new 52, I believe, he was in his late 50s, as opposed to, you know, the 27-year-old guy that he was when we first met him. And it was really nice to have that sort of thing happen. You know, he was the last remaining Vertigo. Sorry, I'll have to check with the manager. The last of the remaining original Vertigo characters. And I'm telling you, it's a shame that they never made a movie.
Oh, they actually did. Him. They actually did Matthew. Listen. Now listen. No. You're going to have to listen. I'm sorry. Are you ready to listen? You have your ears turned on? No. Justice League Dark. Justice League Dark has John Constantine, has Etrigan the Demon, has a Dead Man and Zatanna. Oh, it's a good one, Matthew. They're going up against Felix Faust, a whole bunch of other people. It's Justice League Dark. It's a full-length animated movie.
DC with animated John Constantine. Aren't real movies. I mean,
they actually are movies. Yeah, no, they actually are. You can look it up. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number four, please?
Let's see. Number four. My number four is a guy who is super cool. Because he comes from a very large family of very rambunctious turtles, I guess, and he has to stand out, and he does so by doing the number one cool thing that cool guys do, which is to wear sunglasses and also have an inexplicably pink head, and I'm talking about Roy Koopa, the guy from Super Mario Brothers 3, I think was his original introduction. He is one of the Koopalings. He has a pink head, cool red glasses, has a magic wand, you know, runs around, turns into a shell when you step on him, like a cool guy. He's super cool.
I guess I just really misunderstood this week's top five cool guys. I went with Captain Cold. I mean, He wears a parka in the middle of summer.
The Snart, yeah.
Captain Cold, my number four cool guy.
Yeah. And if Matthew, he's played by Wentworth Miller, he's even cooler.
Matthew, what do you have for number three?
My number three is a character nearer and dearer to my heart than most. Because in the 1990s, which you may notice come after the 1980s, but in the 1990s, there were a lot of things that I would see and people be like, oh, this is a big, huge thing. And everybody's into it and everybody loves it. And I would go, pshaw, everybody loves it. Not I should be different. And so when Otter Disaster says to me, you have to sit down and watch this movie with me, I'm like, pshaw on you with your popular Quentin Tarantino. And I sat and I watched this movie with him because, frankly, I had nothing better to do. Mm-hmm. And he was right. It was an awesome film. Pulp Fiction is an amazing film structurally. It's an amazing film attitudinally. It has many, many, many problems. But those problems are less important to 24-year-old me and 23-year-old Otter. And, of course, it has the one of the coolest guys in the history of everything, Jules Winfield, who starts the movie as a paid killer, has an epiphany, decides that he's no longer going to be a paid killer, and actually spends the rest of the film. Well, the rest is a kind of a misnomer because the film is actually anachronic. It does not happen in the order that it's shown to us, but spends the rest of his portion of the film, the parts of his story in the next order, trying to overcome his own worst nature, leading up to that moment near the end of the film where he's sitting in the diner with a gun in Tim Roth's face. And he explains to him how he got here and what he did and how he likes to quote this verse from the Bible that is totally not from the Bible, you guys. But he's trying, Ringo. He's trying real hard to be the shepherd. And he walks away from his cushy life as a paid killer and goes out to walk the earth. And whether you think that's being a bum or whether you think that that's, you know, some sort of existential thing where he's gone on to a better reality, not the same way Vinny did, because Vinny's gone to a better place in the more euphemistic way, theoretically speaking, you have to appreciate the fact that over the course of this movie, back and forth and here and there, he realizes that he doesn't like what he's doing. He feels like what he's doing is wrong. He knows he's a cool guy, and he's going to go try and do cool guy stuff. And plus, he's Samuel L. Jackson in a massive Jerry Curl wig.
Yeah, there you go.
That right there, I mean, yowza.
Yeah. Rodrigo, what do you have for number three?
My number three is a guy who is cool because it's really helpful. Mm-hmm. And he's friendly and he brings good luck wherever he goes. And he laughs like this. Oh,
is it Santa Claus with a hernia?
Yes, it's hernia. It's the coolest guy, hernia Santa Claus.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better sit down and let him try.
Yep. Like hernia Santa Claus does not go down chimneys. You have to leave the door unlocked for him.
A truss.
And he doesn't carry bags of toys.
He doesn't give me bags of toys.
He's like, hey,
bring him in yourself. You have to meet him out of the driveway. Yeah.
And that's all for top five this week. The remaining nine slots are also hernia Santa Claus.
I was gonna say Falcor the Luck Dragon, but I think I'm changing my answer to hernia Santa.
All right.
Okay, I have a question about Falcor the Luck Dragon.
Yes.
So you know in the Neverending Story 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the first one never ended, how is there a two?
I think it's kind of a Final Fantasy kind of thing in that no one actually expected the thing to be successful.
So it's really more of a penultimate fantasy.
Yeah. It's
Final Fantasy 10 part 2.
Yeah. That's a good one. You know, really, there's just I just prefer to think of it as a final in the sense of like a test. So that's what it feels like to play a Final Fantasy game sometimes. And then, of course, the never ending story is never ending because the song doesn't end. Just like picks back up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when you get confused and scramble your last name into a new alias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. I like your number three. I guess it is. Yeah. Rodrigo. Good job.
Yeah, Hernia Santa Claus. Yeah.
But I guess I'm still super confused about the topic this week.
Hernia Santa
because
Claus.
Because my number three, Frozone from Disney's Pixar. I mean, once he finds his super suit, I guess there's one thing that he has in common with Matthew's number three. He's voiced by Samuel L. Jackson.
All right.
True.
But once he finds his super suit, he can go surfboarding on his own ice toboggan thing. So, yeah, Frozone. He's my number three cool guy. I guess I just didn't understand this week's episode. Yeah. Matthew, what do you have for number two?
You may have misapprehended. My number two, and this is controversial when I say it to fans in the right fandom, is the greatest character in the entire Star Trek franchise. Greatest character in the original continuity, the reboot continuity, the animated continuity, the Mirror Universe, those weird stories that came out in the 70s by James Blish.
Wesley?
That apparently only I remember. Yes, he's cooler than Wesley.
Is that lore?
It's not lore. However, you're in the right time frame.
Uh-huh.
No, my friends, the greatest character in the history of the Stars and Trekson is a man scarred forever by the losses he took at the Battle of Wolf 359 to the point where his career sort of foundered. And when he was given command of an abandoned station in orbit around Bajor, he wasn't even a captain. He was a commander. He was a guy who was messed up in the head and had a weird haircut that never really seemed to fit him. And finally, he decided he was going to shave his hair and grow a beard. And that, my friends, is when Benjamin Lafayette Sisko, captain of the United States Starship, or whatever USS stands for in the Stars and Trekson, of the Defiant, the leader of Deep Space Nine, the man played by Avery Brooks, who, by the way, is another character who anything he touches is pretty cool. Sisko is a cool guy. He starts out his tenure being told by these alien guys that, oh, yeah, by the way, you're our messiah and everybody's going to treat you like a messiah. But we know you're just a jerk. And also, we see time and space differently than you. You want to play baseball? And from that, he did 6-7 seasons of awesome stuff and gathered a really cool group of characters. And sometimes, as someone recently said on the internet, your family can be a weird Irish guy and a crazy engineered doctor and a girl who has an alien worm in her stomach and Worf. And I think that that's an important sort of thing to have, that ability to just do the best you can with what you have and then turn it into something awesome. And that, my friends, is the speciality of Captain Ben Sisko of Deep Space Nine.
All right. Rodrigo, your number two, please.
My number two is, I mentioned super cool guy Pavlov before. And Pavlov has a sidekick because sometimes being a super cool guy means puking on the carpet. And so Pavlov's super cool sidekick is the carpet cleaning robot, which is this like thing that we got, and it has a handle, and then you just kind of put it on top of the stain. And then it goes like, and then it cleans the stain. While it's doing that, I like to like put like sunglasses on it, or like a backwards ball cap.
Do you play some 80s music from Miami Vice?
Yep.
You've got little, to put,
what, put on a little foot. Jacket and roll up the sleeves.
Roll up the sleeves. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, this guy is super cool. He kind of sounds like a drum machine. So that's obviously cool. Yeah, it's like if you've ever wondered what would happen if you set up a drum machine and then throw it inside a dishwasher, that's kind of what this guy sounds like. Pavlov was kind of scared of it at first, but now they're getting along pretty well. So, you know, that's soaring approval from that dog.
Well, and it's nice that Pavlov wants him around, and so he just keeps throwing up.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
that's how I knew my wife loved me.
Yeah,
yeah, she threw up on you. Yeah.
So, my number two coolest guy around is this little cleaning robot.
Cool. I'm sorry, guy. I think I just really misunderstood this week's top five. I really do. I mean, my number two is Polar Boy. He has the ability to freeze things, and he was rejected from the Legion of Superheroes, and so he became a member of the Substitute Heroes, and then eventually he comes back and becomes a member of the Legion of Superheroes. I thought he was pretty cool, but apparently he didn't do the assignment correctly. Oh, hey, Legion Clubhouse coming back. For another season. Go check it out. Legion Clubhouse at MajorSpoilers.com. There you go. All right. I think we're up to our number ones already. But a pretty quick episode. Matthew, what do you have for your number one?
Well, I can make you go long if you want. Long time ago, I says to myself, I says, self, how long do you think we can vamp like this? And I went, oh, a good 5 minutes. So, as a child, I was, and this is true, raised by a 21-inch black and white Magnavox television, which I think really explains both my view of the world and the fact that, you know, whenever I go through a tunnel, you can't hear me speak. But I used to sit and, you know, watch this television thing instead of having human friends, family, or any type of contact. And among the things that would pop up weird late at night were these weird British shows of the 60s. And you'd get things like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And you'd be like, oh, that Ilya Kuryakin, he's a cool guy, but he's not the guy on the list. And you'd be like, ooh, that The Prisoner, he's a pretty cool guy, but he's not the guy on the list. And then you got this weird show where the guy from Battlestar Galactica hangs out with a series of pretty English girls, all of whom have the ability to kick real high in tights. But the best of them, the greatest, in my opinion, is actually, paradoxically, the second of Steed's partners, talented amateurs, as they refer to them in the open, Mrs. Peel, Emma Peel, the former Emma Knight, who is not exactly an agent of the Crown and not exactly a killer ninja and not exactly the hottest woman on earth, but actually kind of all of those things at once. And she kicks people really hard in the face. And this is like 1965, and she's allowed to get in and kick people in the face at a time when even, you know, the male heroes weren't allowed to go in with the heavy duty violence. And she is stylish as heck. She has all these cool Carnaby Street mod outfits that she wears when she's kicking people in the face. And when she left the Avengers, not the Avengers from the movie, it's a different Avengers. And certainly don't go watch the movie Avengers with Ray.
Yeah, Fiennes. I was going to say, there was an Avengers movie.
Yeah, you don't want to watch it. You just don't. Because, I mean, Uma Thurman is okay, but she'll never be Emma Peel. I'm sorry. Uma. But I will say this. Emma Peel, Mrs. Peel, is so cool that in a recent episode of Doctor Who, the actress who played her, Dame Diana Rigg, popped up playing an angry, angry, mean villain character at the age of like 77. And I'm still like, oh my God, this is a super beautiful woman. So that, my friends, is not the reason why Emma Peel is cool. That's just a little side story to fill time because Stephen was worried that the episode was short. Because of my number one, Mrs. Peel from the Avengers.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the magic of editing. Rodrigo, would you like to share your number one, please?
Yes.
Okay.
My number one is a cool guy. There's a very special place in my heart. A long time ago, I started playing Magic the Gathering, and one of the very first Magic cards that I owned was Slippery Boggle, or Bogle, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, if you look up the Slippery Boggle card, you can tell just by looking at him that he's a cool guy. He's like a fat, round thing with like 2 feet, but they're maybe actually hands coming out of the sides of his head. And he's sticking out his tongue. Mm-hmm. And he looks kind of mad, I guess. He looks like
he's kind of a bat and kind of a toad. And
yeah, he kind of looks
a shih tzu.
Yeah, if you were like, hey, what if you made a TIE fighter out of meat that couldn't fly? that's kind of what this guy looks like. Now, what makes him cool is that he can't be affected by spells or abilities your opponents control, but he can't be affected by spells or abilities that you control, which means that you can use him and put auras and enchantments and equipment on him. And instead of your opponents then targeting him and you losing all of your stuff, they can't target him. They got to target the equipment or whatever attachments individually. And he's kind of a giant pain in the butt for them. There are viable modern decks around Slippery Boggle, but he's not that good in competitive Magic. But he's great at kitchen table Magic because he really enables sort of wackier play with enchantments, which, you know, a lot of the like hardcore faster Magic just skips right over a lot of the time. So yeah, my number one coolest guy around is this like weird bag monster with like creepy hands, the Slippery Boggle.
Cool. Well, I think I finally figured out how this thing is supposed to work this week. Supposed to be talking about top five cool guys.
Mm-hmm.
And my number one cool guy has been around since the 1950s. He had a popular song all about him. He was so cool. He was later turned into a semi-okay Rankin Bass animated movie. And then there was like a follow-up, which wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, everybody wants this weird frozen homunculus to follow them around every year.
Hernia Santa Claus?
Yes, Hernia Santa Claus and his best friend, Frosty the Snowman. He's a cool dude. Because you just put a hat on his head, he starts dancing around for you. He'll march you through town, and just when you think you are about to be arrested by the cops, he just takes off and goes running. I'll be back again someday, kids. And you're sitting
have
there
fun
with
in
the,
jail.
And you're sitting there with the popo, and yeah. Frosty the Snowman, my number one cool guy.
That happened to me in high school, but it wasn't a snowman. It was my friend, the bird.
Well, when we do a top five cool birds, then by gosh,
he won't
share
be on
story.
It because he wasn't cool. He wasn't.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's the kind of guy who'd get you in jail and then run away.
Yeah.
Douche.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Top five cool guys. I don't know. I thought I followed the list quite well.
Oh yeah, I assume you have a few also, Rand. Steven,
I had Jack Frost on there.
Uh huh.
I was gonna put Killer Frost, but the top five of cool guys, so I didn't want to, no, you know, be splitting hairs and make our person who requested this top five get all upset because I put Killer Frost on the list. I mean, those would have been a couple of my also Rands. What about you, Rodrigo?
Yeah. Oh, you know, Elsa from Frozen.
Yeah, right. But again, cool guys.
Right.
Yeah. See, that was also going to be on my list.
Guys as gender neutral. I never think of guys as being male.
I would have said gender neutral as top five all y'alls.
Top five
all y'alls.
That's all inclusive.
Top top five all y'all is getting froyos.
Yeah. Because I'll be like, you know, hey, all you guys, use guys over there. And it'll be like four girls. And they'll be like, what? And I'll go, yeah, you understand.
Oh, okay.
Gender neutral.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think if someone says, hey, guys, can you do one of the top five cool guys? I don't know. Listeners, what do you think? I mean, we've got a comment section over there at majorspoilers.com. And I bet you have a list of top five cool guys or gals or peoples or things. Inanimate carbon rods might be on your list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But here's what we need you to do. We need you to head over to majorspoilers.com. We need you to use that comment section. I mean, this is vital for this show to continue. We need you, seriously, to go over to majorspoilers.com and in the comment section for this episode. We need you to share your top five cool guys, gals, etc. You know, the all-knowing yous. We need you to share that with everybody. It's vital. Why? Because everybody loves a list. Take care.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.